It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at Jane Addams, that's A-D-D-A-M-S, books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I am pleased and honored to welcome Joy Yang, luminary local performer on piano and theremin, impresario and advocate of the power of music in community. We in Champaign-Urbana are fortunate to have your talent and your energy, which has spearheaded some fascinating community efforts. And a conversation of half an hour can't possibly do justice to who you are and what you do. So I'll just put out a little bit of groundwork and we'll take it from there wherever seems most promising. So you recently earned a PhD in jazz performance from the School of Music at the U of I, and your training and performance include classical piano, but at the U of I, you expanded to the theremin and switched to jazz and composition. And the theremin, that immediately caught my attention because I'm aware of the fascinating history there is in the School of Music of early performers and composers on theremin, and wondered if that had anything to do with how you discovered it. You are centrally interested in teaching, creativity, community, and how all of that can be tied together beyond the university, but reaching deep into the community and other musicians, children, and then into businesses that ordinarily wouldn't host musical performance. And much of this you've masterminded through the initiative you started in 2023, the Interdisciplinary Institute. And this has a focus on the collaborations of STEAM, which brings together science, technology, engineering, and mathematics with the inclusion of the arts. So this is a wide-ranging and ambitious program, and you've done many initiatives through it. And a guiding principle is education as collaborative and self-reflective. And I love how you bring music into parts of the community that often don't work together. Learners, performers, and for WEFT, I'm always delighted to know that you have a close association with our wonderful WEFTie Jason Finkelman. And then what you do with businesses. And tonight, I am going to go hear you perform at the Scratching Post, our cat cafe. And I love it that you take music into the cat cafe. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that sounds like. You have an unusual background. You were born in South Africa. You spent time in China and Australia. And there's so many different influences in your life. And you ended up in Champaign-Urbana. So tell me what brought you here and the threads of your life.
Wow, thanks, Cope, for such a massive, glowing introduction.
I shouldn't have made it massive. I'm sorry.
I loved it. I love WEFT. It's such a pleasure to be back here again and on a different program and hopefully reaching some new listeners who've never heard about the Theremin or Interdisciplinary Institute. How did I end up in Champaign-Urbana all the way from Sydney, Australia? I was just reflecting on this the other night as I was taking my shower, as all good thoughts come. And I think it goes back to the power of leadership, education, and mentorship. I always really loved university lectures as an undergraduate student that were motivating and inspiring and concise. And I was studying Bachelor of Music and Bachelor of Education at the University of New South Wales in Sydney, Australia, where I grew up mostly. And I remember there was this lecture that about motivation that just really intrigued me. And I was always into psychology. Turns out it was the head of the education department at that university. And I set up a meeting with him since I decided to go there because I was always interested in a study abroad program. And I remember at that time thinking, like, should I go on exchange? I'm not really sure. Like, I love Australia. And he said, you have to go. Like, this is how you're going to grow. And you're going to grow the most by doing this. And especially going to an English-speaking country where you can really focus on the music. Because I was like, should I go to Berlin or America? Back then, I was mostly focused on classical. And he got his PhD from the U of I. He wore the orange and blue at all our graduation ceremonies. And he said that he thought this would be a perfect fit for me. I would really love my time here. And then I trusted his word. I did my research, and this was my top choice. University of Texas, Austin was my second choice. So, yeah, that's how I ended up here as an exchange student in undergrad. I came here for 6 months. It was my first time living abroad for a long amount of time. I've been to other places for little short stays like France and Italy and Melbourne as a student, and also lived in other countries. But this was like a concentrated amount of time. It was definitely a culture shock. I spent Thanksgiving in Minnesota. I loved the campus. As soon as I got here, I was just exploring everything from the football stadium to Granite to all the dorms and all the off-campus community and, everything. Yeah, so I was a student in the School of Music. I studied advanced wind band conducting, and I also did Women's Glee Club, and I did piano literature, classical piano, and I think I did a music theory or history course. Yeah, I really loved it.
And you came back for graduate school.
Yes, yeah, I came back because I loved it so much. It was one of those things where I didn't want to leave. Exchange is super short and sweet. I'm sure a lot of people who've been a study abroad, they can relate. It's like you go somewhere, it's just for a short amount of time. So it changes the way you experience everything. I went back to Australia. I worked at the Scots College as a music educator. I also had my own music studio after I graduated for a year. And then things just lined up. I was invited to audition, and I did for the classical piano performance and literature master's program, and I won a full scholarship. I was really grateful to have the help of the professors in Australia who helped me tape my audition video at like 10 p.m. Took a long time, and my teacher there who helped prepare me. But yeah, so I feel like at that time it was something I always really wanted to pursue my career as a performing artist, even though I really loved education. So things just lined up that way. And it was really hard to leave all the students. I used to teach over 300 boys in Sydney, Australia.
Well, you got back to education after a while.
Yeah, it's always going to be one of my passions.
You began your graduate work studying classical piano. What led you to change to jazz?
My connection to jazz goes a long way back to one of the earliest times was when I did jazz vocals in 9th grade with Nikki Grayson. And so I had started improvising with her using my voice. Then I did some jazz studies at my undergrad with Alistair Spence and Sandy Evans, and also had a lesson with Sotoka Fuji, who was a big influence on me. And it was one of those things that I was always interested in. And when I was here as an exchange student, I went to New York. Went to the jazz clubs there, met some amazing people, like my friends these days, and it really inspired me. I just wanted to be part of that community. I feel like it's never been easy. The first jazz ensemble I auditioned for, I honestly didn't make it when I was an undergrad, and the instructor was like, okay, if you can learn the blues by the first rehearsal, you can stay. So I never had a jazz piano teacher, so I was just trying to figure it out on my own. So I managed to always kind of get enough to like still get my foot in the door. And the same thing when I came here, the first time I auditioned for a jazz band or lessons, I got rejected. It was in a kind way, but it felt really harsh on me, being a pianist who was technically proficient and whatever. But then eventually, I had some lessons with another person. I got some knowledge together, and then I auditioned again, like I didn't give up. And then I made it through to like at least having lessons. And then I made it through to getting into a band. And then, so I studied with Chip Stevens here for, the whole time for my master's and doctorate. So I studied with Chip the whole time. I was really involved in the jazz community and playing in all these bands and stuff. So switching over to jazz as a doctoral degree concentration was more of a logistical thing because I had completed the coursework for both degrees anyway.
How did you discover the theremin?
Back to the exchange time at the end of my exchange studies. So, and this was another reflection I had recently was that, sometimes we think we make mistakes in life or we don't know why we met this person or this thing happened, but I actually truly believe it all leads to good places by taking risks and meeting new people, trying things out of our comfort zone, and even making a mistake, we still learn from it. Anyways, I was at this jazz club in Chicago. The drummer of that group was playing a mini theremin. In the intermission, the bass player, Joe, he was showing me a video of Clara Rockmore on theremin on YouTube. And I thought he was, pulling my leg. I was like, what? This can't be real. And turns out, yeah, no, this is a real instrument. And then also, another thing I learned was it's really important to state what our desires are out loud for them to actually manifest. Because when I went back to Australia, I was interviewing and auditioning for this course with the professor I hadn't met. It's like a production sonic arts course. And in the interview, I just said, oh, yeah, and I also want to learn the theremin. Just casually mentioned it. And he was like, no way, I've got a theremin in my office. And I named my daughter Clara after Clara Rockmore. I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, you can just borrow it. So I started borrowing his theremin.
I'm sure there are people listening who do not know what a theremin is. Can you give the thumbnail description?
Theremin is an electromagnetic instrument that you can play without touching. It has two metal antennas, a horizontal curved one, and a straight metal rod. And you can play it by moving your body. It senses my energy, and it has a pitch antenna and a volume antenna. It's one of the original synthesizers. So imagine like a keyboard that we have these days. It's like a keyboard, but without the actual keys. It's actually kind of amazing because it's somewhat of a traditional instrument, but it always remains contemporary.
How do you mean it's traditional?
It's been around for a while. It was invented in the 1920s by Leon Theremin. It's been composed by Shostakovich, has composed music for it. Martineau is another piece I looked at recently. So there's been classical compositions written for theremin as well as horror movies and pop culture like sci-fi and stuff. So I feel like it's a very versatile instrument. Like a lot of people these days, it might be their first time even hearing or seeing it, but it's actually been around for a while.
And I think there was some groundbreaking work done here at the U of I around theremin.
Yeah, I think this was before I arrived, but I think Barry, there was like a lot of conduction or ensemble with theremin here. There was quite a bit of history, and I've had some people reach out to me about that were involved in that.
How do you balance in your composition and performing piano and theremin?
I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately, having just done the Philip Glass piano performance at Coranit, which was a pleasure to prepare and perform. Why I mentioned the theremin is a traditional instrument that still always remains contemporary is that I feel like it relates to me as a person. So I perform the piano and the theremin. The piano is a pretty traditional, long-standing staple instrument. But the theremin in comparison is like very modern. But actually, they go really well together. The theremin is versatile, it's like a voice, but you can change the timbre of the instrument and also the sound wave itself. So sometimes it can sound more like a violin, or more like a bee, or more like a voice, just based on the instrument's own sounds. But what's really cool is I actually modify the instrument using my own sounds and using my laptop and digital audio workstation, where I create custom signature sounds. And I'm also constantly evolving all these sounds. Like, you could create infinite amount of possibilities. So even though a theremin looks extremely simple, its relationship to the keyboard is intimately intertwined, especially since it was one of the first synthesizers that then later became also a keyboard synthesizer. So in a way, I feel like playing the theremin is going to back to the origins and the root of sound itself, like sound as a waveform, as vibration. I feel like the theremin is much more intuitive as an instrument. It can access pitches that the piano can't, microtones and in between sounds in the piano, we'd have to really detune it to be able to access those sounds. So I think those balance each other really well. And right now, what I'm working on, just being very transparent, is obtaining the same level of skill on the theremin as I have on the piano. And I think that would be the next evolution, being able to play anything I want on the theremin. So I've always been self-taught, but I have studied a lot of methods in my process, and I'm also creating my own method currently because there's a lot of interest from students.
Do you teach theremin?
Yeah, so I always get a lot of inquiries for piano lessons, and the institute offers singing lessons, piano, guitar, drums, and lots of one-on-one lessons. But lately there's been an influx of theremin one-on-one lesson inquiries. It's a lot more than usual, so we're actually working on launching a theremin group lesson. So if anyone's interested, they can reach out to me via the Interdisciplinary Institute, and our email is also found on our website.
Let's move toward the Interdisciplinary Institute. You started this very soon after you got your degree. And what was your inspiration?
So the Interdisciplinary Institute was mostly a project that was birthed out of love. I've been a part of this community for such a long time. I did my master's here, I did my doctorate here. It was 5 years of school here. I feel like I benefited so much from this community as a student. And I also, working in the School of Music and admissions and the social media kind of public engagement side, I was a huge advocate for trying to build the community and recruit. And I saw a lot of the gaps where the needs were for the students and the faculty, staff, and community, and everybody. So I felt like there was a sense that once I graduated, that it was time for me to give back. I know a lot of people, once they graduate, they tend to leave this community and they find jobs in other cities, which I did have offers as well. I had multiple offers. I knew that in the long term, I wanted to be a performer, which is what I'm doing right now. And it was really important for me to bring this community along with me for the ride, which is why I formed the Interdisciplinary Institute. It's a way for me to be able to create the kinds of safe spaces that I feel like are important and necessary to fill some gaps, and also to be able to give interested students the opportunity to access everything else I'm building as a performer out in the actual entire world.
What's the balance in the institute between teaching, performing? What are all of the aspects that you offer?
The Interdisciplinary Institute has three main aspects. We have lessons, one-on-one lessons in different instruments, and we have workshops, lessons, workshops, and concerts. So we do concerts out in the community as well as at our location. And an additional one is also just space rental if anyone needs to use the space for things. The balance is pretty evenly spread amongst these three activities.
What age range are your students?
We have ages from children like 3 years old all the way to much older adults like grandparents. It's a wide range.
What do you teach? Piano, voice, theremin?
The Institute began as a STEAM hub for self-discovery and art-science interchange. It's a focus on science, technology, music, art, education, visual arts, literature, which is what my research is actually focused in an autoethnographic approach to interdisciplinary improvisation. It's extremely niche. That kind of work is, it's based on the kind of future that I would like to see for the future generations, especially with more and more AI use. It's about building humanistic skills of empathy, openness, and communication through the way we collaborate. So we found that there was a lot of demand for just lessons. People were asking us about lessons, so kind of why we offer lessons. You want to be able to master something and then come together with a dancer or a visual artist to then create something else. For our teen summer camp last year, we were able to produce a performance that involved all these different elements. The students brought in their knowledge of things like building rockets, building computers, and we were able to integrate it into the stories and the dances and the musical performances that they did. So I used my research background to help them find these networked connections across all these disciplines so that we can build some bridges. Because I believe that the skills that people need these days, especially the younger generation for the future, yes, they need to be able to do things deeply, but they also need to be able to communicate across languages, cultures, and disciplines in order to build things that are beyond what a robot can just do for us. In terms of my own performance these days, I'm really grateful for the releases on Asian Improv Records. Kuroshio and Joyang Trio Live On were two meaningful records for me in the past that are both more like in the jazz genre. However, right now, I'm really excited that I'm focusing on a new record that I'm making, and it's in a totally different genre. That's all I can say. So this new project that I've been working on, it's a solo project that involves a lot of my electronic music collaborators. It has a blend of different genres. It's a side of me that people have never seen before. I'm really excited for everybody to hear this side. It's really important as artists to keep evolving in a way that's true to ourselves, not just to what people are used to and what they expect. And so this album is going to have a mix of all my interests in theremin, piano, singing, rapping, dancing, visual arts. It's all going to come together. So I'm really excited.
I have a question that I ask of all the artists that I interview on Catch the Beat. How do you sustain your own creative growth? How do you nurture your own creative side? Do you have daily practices? Are there particular things that you go to when you need to really focus on yourself?
Thanks, Cope. That's actually such a great question, which I've been thinking about a lot lately. For me, and I think many creatives, things happen in cycles. And for anyone interested, I actually discussed this in my doctoral paper. I have like diagrams and stuff about my creative growth and process, but actually, I've evolved a lot. So, with my personal creative growth, a really important part is balance. Simple concepts like balance, the basics. Nutrition, rest, diet and movement, and connection. I think these things are often overlooked. I think a lot about the environment that I place myself in and the influences I have around me. I'm very mindful. I've definitely been tapping into my spiritual and intuitive sides. And being a creative who has been absorbing a lot of information my entire life, listening to a lot of music, going to a lot of shows, I think it also is important to zoom out and look at the bigger picture of things and also connect with people that are at different stages of growth, whether they're at the same stage as me, whether they're a bit further ahead or just beginning. All of these are really important to gain perspective shifts. Another important part of my creative growth is exploring things other than music. And I think the space away from the things that I love are what preserves the love for the thing. Recently, during my break, I took 10 days off. And what I mean by that is I didn't use any devices for like 10 days, barely, except for like basic things like the time or something like that, or like listening to some music. But I deleted all my social media apps. These days, everyone's so plugged in. It really, really helped me reset and be able to connect with myself and others and explore other interests. Like, I got certified in Reiki, and that was just something that I'm personally interested in.
You have a performance coming up in Chicago on March 8th with the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. And I was fascinated with the name of this, the Boglifier, with Ernest Dawkins and Jonathan Woods and Nova.
Yeah, Nova Lai. This is a group that Ernest put together. We're basically going to perform creative music with hosted by the AACM. It is visual arts, so it's multidisciplinary, as well as sound performance. Nova is actually performing an instrument that he invented called portals, and I think that's going to be really cool with Ernest on saxophone and me on the theremin, and also Jonathan on the visuals. I'm really excited for this opportunity to really extend my theremin playing to a wider audience, as well as experiment with some new techniques on the theremin. For education-related requests, everyone can reach out via the Interdisciplinary Institute. We are planning a huge annual fundraiser, so if they would like to receive a personal invitation, please reach out. We would love to have you there and support everything we're doing. We're aiming for the spring semester, which is coming up soon, so that's the goal, and I think this would be an amazing way to, engage the entire community. Yeah, I would say me as an artist is ever evolving.
I saw that you were interested in fashion design, and at Krannert, I loved what you wore. So,
Oh, thank you.
yeah.
I am king. I will be releasing my own dress line, so stay tuned if you like my gowns because you will be able to purchase them shortly.
Well, Joy, thank you very much. What a pleasure it is talking to you. And I look forward to looking more deeply into what your institute offers and going to the Cat Cafe tonight.
Oh, thank you, Cove. Well, yeah, I look forward to seeing you there.
That's our time for this week's Catch the Beat. I give big thanks to Joy Yang for giving us a glimpse into a vast and growing world she's created in our community through her own music with piano and theremin and her interdisciplinary institute that reaches into the community to bring STEAM research into classrooms and performance. For more of an introduction to her world, go to joyyangmusic.com. That's Joyyang music.com and interdisciplinaryinstitute.com. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.